Good morning. Good to be here with y'all. Let's pray and read our Bibles together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so good and kind and loving to us. Thank you that you give us these beautiful moments that we can come together and remember the cross and reaffirm our faith and our love for you together. And now as we open your word and read, I pray that you would speak to us through your word, that you would draw us nearer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I wrote Psalms in my first sentence, and I realized we're not going to get to the Psalms till about halfway through, so we will get there. Not false advertising, not clickbait, but it's going to be a minute. There's something in the Psalms that can help protect us. Protect us from what? From straying away from God, from leaving the side of our Savior, from abandoning our salvation. And you say, hey, that's kind of, you know, that's serious stuff. Obviously, we're not doing that. We're here. We're singing to Jesus. We're okay. But we've seen that happen, right? That's a thing. That happens. I'm sure if we took a moment and went to kind of a dark place spiritually in our minds and thought about people that we love that are far away. They used to be close to the Lord and now they're not. And our hearts grow heavy and there's a sadness, right? If you're feeling that, if you're thinking about somebody, there's a sadness that you feel in your heart. We've seen that happen. Some of us have experienced that personally. We've wandered away from our faith. We've left the side of our Savior. And all of us could do that. That's something that is definitely on the table for all of us. No one is immune to that. So how does that happen? How do we wander away from God? What does that process look like? And sometimes, and of course, whenever you try to explain a complicated process, it's always different. There's not one way it happens. But I'm going to take a stab at it today with the help from the help of some scriptures. I think sometimes it seems like it just happens. Like all of a sudden, it's like they were good and now they're gone. What? Just one day, sometime between Sunday to Sunday, their faith just blew up. They were good and now they're not. That's not the way it happens, right? We know that it happens because we think we're doing okay always. That's a common thing. You ask anyone, how are you doing? And it's, I'm good. You try to tell someone they're not good. And what do we say back? No, I'm good. We're always doing fine. And as we think we're doing okay, we tend to ignore one of the greatest realities of sin and how sin works. God in his word teaches us that. Let's go to Hebrews first. And we are going to jump all over the place today. I think next week we have two psalms that we get to jump between, and both of them have the number 19 in them, so it'll be pretty easy next week. This week, everywhere, Hebrews chapter 3, drifting away from God, leaving the side of the Savior is a process. This text tells us other things, but that is one of the truths that is in this text. Look at Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be any. So it's take care, it's be careful, and that'll be woven through what we're going to look at today. Be careful, lest there be any in you, an unbelieving heart. I said the preposition's wrong. Lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. It's a falling away. That phrase, falling away from God, if you've been around church, you know, for an extended period of time, you've heard it and it's become a churchy kind of phrase, right? But it describes a process. It's a drifting away. It's a falling away. It's not a here one day, gone to the next. There's a falling away, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened so by the deceitfulness of sin. So sin, two things it tells us about sin, how that drifting or falling away from Christ happens. Sin gets in our lives, and it does two things. It hardens us. Why? Because it's deceitful. It hardens us. It makes our hearts not love the Savior the way we used to. It turns off our Our desire to worship him and to be with our brothers and sisters and to be in his presence and to seek him and to read his word, our heart gets hard. We don't care anymore, little by little. It's a process. And that has happens because sin deceives us. Living with sin in our lives, repetitive sin, even the things that I'm going to use air quotes, small sins, the little tiny things, I'm kind of that way. That deceives us because it makes us start accepting disobedience to God and justifying it, not seeing it for as repugnant as it is. And that in turn starts hardening our hearts. It's a process. Sin grows little by little. Go to James chapter 1. Look at verse 14. Look at how it's described here. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire, luring. So it's a drawing in. It's you desire, and that lures you in. And see, it's a process. It happens. It grows little by little. Then the desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. We don't wake up one day far from God. At least that's not how we got there. Changed, enslaved to different sins, and all of a sudden it just happened. Yesterday I was okay. Today I'm not. No, it starts small. It starts with our desire. It starts with our hearts wandering, and as we desire and we're consumed with our desires, and then it grows little by little. And look at the last phrase, sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Sin destroys us. It grows little by little, and it ends up destroying us, consuming us, taking us away from God, shutting off our hearts to him, changing us irreparably, not irreparably, but changing us, transforming us. So why do we drift away from God? Why do we leave God's side? How can our faith grow cold? One reason is, huge reason, in the path to walking away from God, as that grows little by little, it's a step-by-step thing. On that path, there are warning signs. There are signs that something's happening in us. There's symptoms that sin is growing in us, that our faith and our love are growing cold. There's signs. We don't see them because they're not big. I mean, I didn't just, you know, blow up my family and my faith and just in one day. And that's a big sign. You would see that if that happened. You would know, oh, there's something wrong in his heart right now. But the little signs, they're there. We just don't always notice them. Little signs, our desires are a sign. Do we have sinful desires? Yes. Are they sin? James, what I read from James is the desire itself is not a sin. It's what it leads us to and how we let it take us down a path. But as our desires grow and consume us, the sinful desires grow and consume us, and there's nothing in my heart that's battling against that, and that's making me love the Savior and desire the Savior more than sin. And I'm desiring what is not real instead of what is real. When that's happening in my heart, that's a warning sign. I'm constantly being drawn away from God by my heart, and that's a warning sign. Other signs are it's sin related for the most part, right? There's little sins that we tolerate in our hearts. That's just how I am. It's small. We justify it. We whatever that sin is for you. Maybe it's the way you think or you feel towards that one person. I love all of y'all, but love everybody but that one person. So I just kind of tolerate that in my heart. Whatever the thing is, whatever the sin is, I'm the way I speak, the way I explode in anger, the way that I'm frustrated on a regular basis, whatever that thing is, and it's small and it's not, I mean, it doesn't keep me from being a Christian. It wouldn't keep me from teaching Sunday school, but I ignore those sins. Those are warning signs. Those are signs something's wrong. They're signs of growing cold. Maybe they're not in and of themselves strictly a sin, but it's I don't want to come together with my brothers and sisters anymore. I'm not here as often, and now not really very much at all. I've, this is one people can't see. Don't read the Bible anymore. I'm not confessing. This is just a for instance. I don't read the Bible anymore. I don't really pray by myself. I mean, I say prayers, you know, with the family, like, you know, before we eat and stuff, but I don't find myself praying or I don't sing to Jesus during the day. Those are warning signs, huge warning signs. You say, I'm still doing pretty good. I go on Sundays and everything's fine. I don't read the Bible anymore. That's a huge warning sign. Something is wrong. You're drifting. Your faith is growing cold. Another warning sign is of growing cold is I'm not passionate for the kingdom the way that I used to be, the way that I see other people being passionate for the kingdom. I can't remember the last time I spoke the gospel to a non-Christian or even to a Christian when we're talking about life. I'm not studying the Bible with anybody. I can't remember when I thought about studying the Bible or wanting to study the Bible with somebody else. These are kinds of signs. You could probably think of others, signs of faith growing cold, signs of drifting. So if drifting is a process and there are signs in the path, we drift because we don't notice them. We don't see the signs. And God gives us something in His Word. Now we're at the Psalms. Go to Psalm 119. I know that's still a broad range, but we'll drill in a minute. God gives us something that can help us, protect us. He instructs us to inspect ourselves. And also, we're to let Him inspect us for these warning signs, for sins that I've just kind of gotten accustomed to, and they're not that big of a deal because nobody calls me out on them. Maybe nobody can see it. It's not that big of a deal. Again, not true, but those warning signs, our desires, our signs of growing cold, he calls us to inspect ourselves and then correct, make course corrections, and turn away from the things that are leading us astray little by little. Again, not huge things, but little by little signs we're going astray. Psalm 119, look at verse 57. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. Now this is the verse. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. So he says, when I think on my ways, he says, I think about the path that I'm going down. I think about what I'm doing, my decisions. And this is it's a present tense. I do this. This isn't something that I've done. It's when I think this is something I do. I think about the decisions I make and what I think about and the way I speak and my emotions and my friendships and the direction of my life. I think about that. And then what do? I turn my feet to your testimonies. That's to God's word. I think about the way who I am and the way I'm living today. And then when I see little things in me, and I do, and this is confessional, what I do, and we all do, when I see things in me that don't conform to your word, what does David say? He says, I turn my feet in that direction. I turn away from whatever the thing is that is not in line with what you want me to do. I think about, I inspect my life, in other words. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. And we're jumping in the middle of, and for most of these, we're going to jump in the middle of something that's already going on. But just look at this phrase, Lamentations chapter 3. He starts with the greatness of God. He's talking about the mercies of God being new every morning. The whole chapter. It's my favorite chapter in Lamentations. But look at just this section. Look at verse 37. Who has spoken and it came to pass? So he's talking about God's greatness. Unless the Lord has commanded it. Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? This talks about God's sovereignty. Why should a living man complain, a man, about the punishment of his sins? And this is it, verse 40. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Very similar to what David said, isn't it? Look in the mirror. I need to look in the mirror. I need to see what's missing. I need to see what's not right. I need to see what's drifting. I need to see what's growing cold. And I need to turn that back to the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And this is one I know. We're dropping in the middle of a conversation Paul is having with them. This is an ongoing teaching thing, and we're just grabbing a piece out of it. So that's not always good. So this week, if you are so inclined, read 2 Corinthians 13. Read the whole chapter or the whole book. Either would be good. But just look at this little snippet. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? So, bigger idea, but also within that is what we're talking about today, this instruction to examine and inspect our lives and ourselves, to look in the mirror. And also, there are various places in the Bible where we're instructed to, it's an instruction, but it's also describing something that happens, where we're instructed to receive inspection. And I guess we could have gone in the direction of from each other, but that's not the direction that we're going here. It's from God. We're instructed to let God inspect us, and even to invite Him to inspect our lives, to open ourselves up. It's like, remember when you were a kid, could you ever imagine going to your mom and saying, is there anything else you want me to do? You don't do that. You go and play until you get called to do something, and then you run off as soon as that's done. You never say, what else? We're instructed to go to God and say, what else? Look at Psalm 17, verse 3. Psalm 17, verse 3. Talking to God, he says, you have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you will find nothing. See, I can't say that phrase. I can't say that phrase. But the first part, I think, is something that a reality we all share and should desire to share. God, test my heart. Inspect me. Look deeply inside of me. When I'm alone and my mind's shut off and the TV's shut off and everything, come to me and search me. Look at Psalm 139, verse 1. This is one that we're cutting up a little bit. This would be a great one for a family devotion this week. Psalm 139, look at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. So he says, God, you've inspected me and you know me. There's nothing hidden in me from you. Verse 2, you know when I sit down, when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. He knows what we're like. He knows our habits. And that's, I think, I'm guessing, but I don't think it's by accident that he chooses something so, you know, just normal and ordinary as when I sit down and when I stand up. You know what I'm like as a person, what I do, and you know how I think. You know my thought. You know my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, verse 3, and my lying down, and are acquainted with my ways. You know everything I do, where I go, what I do. You know what I'm like and who I am. Verse 4, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. He knows everything about us, even what we're going to say. The truth is that God knows us, right? And then look at how he ends the psalm. Jump down to verse 23. Look at what he asks God to do in light of God knowing us intimately. Look at what he begs God to do for him. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So you know me, so inspect me, please. You know me, but no, I want you to get inside me and know everything about me, how I feel, my heart, the motivations, why I do what I do. Test me, and then find the stuff that you don't like. Find the stuff that you say that I might say, hey, that's just the way I am. But you say, that's a warning sign. That doesn't reflect my character. That's taking you down a bad path. That bitterness, that envy you have, that anger, whatever the thing is, show that to me, and then bring me back to your way. Find it, and then correct it. He's asking God to do that to him. One more, Job chapter 13. Look at verse 23. Again, larger conversation, good chapter, but just one verse. Job 13, 23. Job is asking God, how many are my iniquities and my sins? Look what he says. Make me know my transgression and my sin. Make me know it. I want to see it. I want to be made aware of it. That's what we should ask God. It's a heart that desires for Him to show us what He wants us to change, and everything in us that is not like He is or how He wants us to be. One of the greatest ways to protect ourselves spiritually and to work with God, to step alongside God in His work of protecting us, is to inspect our own lives and to ask our Father to inspect us. And when we see danger signs, persistent sin, spiritual growing coldness, we should worry about. That should worry us. That should be something that should concern, not worry, concern. That should concern us, because we know that even though we can easily justify those things away, I don't go to church as much as before, but it's this, it's that, it's the other thing, or I don't read my Bible as much as before, but I try to think about it during, we can justify anything away. But we should be concerned when we see these warning signs in us. Why? Because we know that internal surrender to Jesus is reflected in external obedience. It's wanting to worship with our brothers and sisters. It's wanting to live in community with each other. It's reading the Bible and praying and speaking the gospel and leaving behind persistent sins. That's how our internal devotion to Jesus is reflected in our lives, through these external things. And when those external things are missing, it normally means that inside there's also something relationally missing, going awry in our relationship with God. And that relationship, that missing thing in our relationship, the thing that is causing the external signs to not be there, isn't something that just all of a sudden shows up and poof, I don't love Jesus anymore. It's a little thing that starts growing. And by looking at these danger signs, warning signs, spiritually growing cold signs, we can see in ourselves the danger signs before we get so far gone that we can't in our own power return. So, what should we do? Well, if you're not a Christian and you're listening to this, that you inspect our lives, think about who I am and where I'm with God. And if you inspect your life and you're not a Christian, the biggest thing missing that should jump out at you is that you haven't surrendered to Jesus. You haven't accepted Him as your Savior and Lord by repenting and being baptized. He invites you to do that, to enter into true peace with God, to be forgiven, to become God's child, to be filled with His Spirit. And when you say, I want that, that is the biggest thing in your whole spiritual existence that needs to be corrected. When you say, I want that, tell one of us who's been up here, you can repent, be baptized. For those of us who are Christians, we get to the end of this, we say, what should I do? Well, the whole thing has been kind of application, hasn't it? We should do that. We should inspect our lives. We should regularly hold up a mirror to our soul and inspect our lives. We should ask ourselves, what is that persistent sin that's just kind of in my life that I'm tolerating, that I don't worry about anymore? What is that sin? What is that sin that I have? Or what are the signs of spiritual coldness that are creeping into my life, in my relationship with my brothers and sisters, or my relationship with God and spending time with Him? What are some of the warning signs, the signs that I'm not fully devoted to Jesus and to His mission, and I'm not excited about talking about the gospel to people anymore? What are the warning signs that I'm seeing in my life? And when God makes us see something, when He shows us something that we need to change, here's another verse. Go to Revelation chapter 3. This is how we should react. This is how we should respond when we hold up that mirror and listen. Every time you hold up the mirror and say, God, what is something you want me to change? He'll show you. This wasn't a hard one for me to apply to myself, unfortunately. Last night, I was thinking, I should inspect my life. I should do what I'm going to say we should all do tomorrow. So what is it? And instantly, there are two things popped in my mind. The Spirit's very faithful. He shows us what we need to change. And when He does that, how should we react? Go to Revelation chapter 3. You think we're going to Laodicea. I thought that too at the beginning of the week. We're not. Go to verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who have seen the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. Now what we're going to see is that God has inspected them, and He's going to hold up some stuff they need to change, some warning signs in their life, in their path. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you're dead. And then look at what He tells them to do. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of God. Remember then what you have received and heard, keep it and repent. That's the word. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at that hour it come against you. We should repent. When we see what little, and I'm saying little, and that's in quotes. Every time I say little, it's in quotes because they're not little. When we see little things, it's like, I think I need to change that. That's not a good sign spiritually in me. We should repent. We should wake up. We should remember what God has done for us. We remember who we are and how he wants us to live. And we should return. We should repent. We should restore what's out of place in our lives before it takes us down a path that takes us far from our Father. And for those of us who are Christians, we're now invited to gather around the Lord's table together. And this is a moment that God has given us primarily to remember Jesus, but also a moment to inspect our lives, to inspect ourselves as we take the bread and the juice. Go to 1 Corinthians 11 with me, if you would. For I received from the Lord, verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So when we take bread and juice together, as we will in a moment, the main reason we do that is to remember. We do it in remembrance of him. We remember Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. We remember that there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus because of what he did on the cross. Even when we inspect our lives and see things that aren't as they should be, and we work with the Spirit to correct those, there is no condemnation because of what Jesus did. We remember that as we take the bread and the cup. And we also should inspect our lives in this moment. So look at verse 27. "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." So in this very moment, you may think there's a lot to do in this moment, but in this moment, we are to remember Jesus on the cross, his sacrifice for us. We're also to examine ourselves. We're also to hold up a mirror to our souls. We're also to ask God in this moment, "Show me, examine my heart, Lord. Show me any way that is not pleasing to you, and lead me in your way everlasting. Show me what I need to change." This is a moment of conversing with God, saying, "Thank you for what you did on the cross, and show me what there is in me that is not in conformance with Jesus, and show me what to do to change that." God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and kind, and you pursue us, and we know our tendency is to drift away from you, but you and your love, you help us see. You help us see that even as it's happening and before it happens. And you in your love, you show us what you want us to do, to change, to draw nearer to you, to love you more instead of loving you less, to be more and more devoted to you instead of less. And so God, in this moment, as we remember the cross and remember Jesus and his sacrifice, and we thank you for that together, we also invite you, when we ask that you would inspect our hearts and examine us, know us, God, as we know you do, know us, God, and show us what is not pleasing to you in us, and show us what you would have us do to change that, so that we might walk more closely to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's take the bread together.